When you hear the name Spielberg, you often think of movies, but it's usually Steven Spielberg you're thinking about. Steven has a sister, Nancy, who's also in the film business, and Nancy Spielberg's documentary Above and Beyond, the untold true story about the origins of the Israeli Air Force, was part of the lineup for the fly-in theater at AirVenture Oshkosh 2016. She introduced the film on Sunday, and we caught up with her by phone later in the week to talk about her film.
That was, first of all, such a cool experience for me. It was something that I had been dreaming of, to be on the biggest theater I have yet to have been on with this film, Above and Beyond, which is the story of a group of basically American World War II veteran pilots that, after they came back from fighting for the good old U.S. of A., basically turned around in 1948, smuggled planes out of the United States against a state-imposed embargo to the Middle East, and they smuggled these planes in Israel's War of Independence when Israel was just declared a state and then was attacked by all the surrounding Arab armies who were very, very well-equipped armies and air forces, and Israel had nothing. I think they had a Piper Cub, you know, that they used to throw seltzer bottles over the side. And so this group of volunteers literally risked their lives and felt it was the right thing to do to help this group.
Did this film start with a novel or start with a piece of literary work and then get adapted for the screen?
This film literally started with an email that was sent to me with a copy of an obituary about an American guy named Al Swimmer, who was a TWA flight engineer. And they credited him in the obituary. The title of the obituary was Father of the Israeli Air Force Dies at 94. And when I read it, I was so shocked. And somebody, a stranger, sent this email and said, this should be your next film. You know, and I usually say, yeah, that you mean this should be my brother's next film and you want me to give it to him, which I won't. But no, they meant me. And I was shocked that an American was being credited with founding the Israeli Air Force. And that really got me interested. And as I read on and heard that he was the main man, he gathered up friends of his from TWA and from other airlines and people he knew from the war and asked them to volunteer to help. So it started from an obituary. I then went to find anything I could read about it and to research it further. And there were some great books, like there's one book called No Margin for Error, written by Ehud Yoneh, and tells the story, and another book called The Pledge that tells about these volunteers and all this secretive operations with the FBI chasing these guys in the United States. So that's how it started, with an obituary.
Now, you mentioned something about getting a note that you thought somebody might have meant this should be my brother's film, not mine. So your brother, Steven Spielberg, happens to be in the family business of a sort, right?
Yeah. I think he makes a little bit bigger films. So I think I had the larger screening room or out in Oshkosh.
Well, you actually tie for that, right? I feel pretty sure we've screened one or more of his movies at the Fly-In Theater as well.
Okay.
But he hasn't been here, see? So that's pretty cool. Oh. Do you guys talk shop when you get together?
You know, we actually try not to talk shop too much because his world is shop, and when he's with family, he likes to be able to let his hair down and you know, talk about our kids and our parents and make jokes and talk about how he tortured us when we were younger. But we did talk a little shop about my film because he absolutely loves it. So, you know, in a sense, we're talking a little shop, but mostly it's still family related.
So back to the film that screened on this past Sunday. How far along in the evolution of your production company is this film? This is not your company's first film, of course, but how long have you been producing under your own label, so to speak?
Well, I've been working on films I started working on films with my brother when I was 6 years old, so on and off. I did a few, but I didn't necessarily do them under Playmount Productions. Playmount actually is the translation of Spielberg. It's play is Spiel in German, and Mount is Berg, and it was a production company that my father started for my brother's films when my brother was about 12 or 13, And then I sort of took it over. This is the first main production, the first time I was like the lead producer on it and not just consulting or executive producing somebody else's projects. So I'm a little bit of a newbie at the ripe age of whatever old I am.
Now, is there a theme that drives the projects that you'll take on?
There's two things. One is what grabs me. What just really pulls at my guts, what pulls at my heartstrings, what is, to me, an incredible story. I also really love the underdog. So I've got a basketball film I'm doing. Again, it's sort of a David and Goliath. It's a miracle on hardwood, you know, kind of theme. And I'm also doing a Holocaust theme. So, but I'm open. You know, I really think you can't pigeonhole yourself. In general, I think our family, we're storytellers. We can make a story out of a mundane trip to the grocery store or, you know, a friendly being from outer space. So I just sort of wait for the right thing to hit.
In the pre-production planning for Above and Beyond, how did you approach the aerial or the aircraft photography?
Well, one thing that I knew for sure is that I did not want to make a documentary that could have been called A Bunch of Old Guys Sitting Around Talking. You know, we didn't want to make just talking heads. And really, we wanted to utilize anything we could to put people in the cockpit, make them feel that they're flying along with the guys as they're telling their story. So we did a combination of things. And one of the things that I knew we would need, but I really hate, are recreations. But I actually chose the director, Roberta Grossman, because she had handled recreations in a prior film beautifully. And I was so afraid that, you know, recreations in the wrong hands will just totally disqualify your film from any kind of credibility. And I just couldn't do that. I couldn't go out and have a flop. So the first thing we did, of course, was scour archives. Israeli Air Force was wonderful. They gave us a lot of whatever they had. I made a joke about this the other night, but it's the truth. There's an archive called the Steven Spielberg Film Archives at Hebrew University, and they have the oldest collection of Israel films. So I used their resources, and I got a bill for full price, too. I didn't get no deals for me. And after we gathered what we could, and there wasn't, like I said, there was not a lot. Israel, you know, was not like the United States that had a whole camera corps in the World War II. Israel didn't have cameras, and they didn't have the planes to hang the cameras on. So we did use some archival footage from World War II so that we could at least get some Messerschmitt, some dogfighting, some of the B-17s. And then we went looking for planes to hire. Which is costly, and I'm working on a small budget of all donations. So we had to, you know, and we were trying to find as many planes in one location because just to fly everybody to one spot was my budget, you know. So it turned out that we did well in Duxford, and we went to the Imperial War Museum, and I had great help from some of the guys there and other people in the aviation world. And I also flew in Chino, and I flew in Farmingdale, and I flew in I think, Calabasas. So I went to a lot of these different places to get a C-46 in California. In Chino, I filmed at Steve Hinton's place. And in Farmingdale, I did interviews with the guys with a lot of the planes in the backdrop. But in Duxford, we used a Spitfire, and we used, I think it was a Spanish Avia that was supposed to be the Messerschmitt. And flew them. We actually didn't even take the Spitfire up in the air. We shot it on the ground. So then I needed some flying sequences. And I went, uh-oh, we need CGI work. And that really can kill your film. You know, I didn't want to make a film that looked like a video game. I didn't want to do that. But the best in the business is George Lucas's Industrial Light and Magic. And I begged a favor, and they did a lot of it pro bono because they loved the story. They had the models of some of the planes, which they need models for CGI, from Red Tails.
Already on the shelf, right.
Yeah. So I think they had to make me like one model. And so we really combined all these things, but we made sure that any of the recreations and the CGI work was sort of short scenes. And we took out, we they're very sepia toned, so you didn't get that technicolor in your face kind of stuff. And it felt like archival. So we sort of blended all that together and hopefully succeeded. The funny thing is that the Spitfire I used in Israel, when I was done, I was leaving, the pilot, John, showed me the file on the plane. And lo and behold, that plane that I was just plain old using like a prop had been sent to Israel in February of 1949 and was part of the last battle that won the War of Independence in the actual history, you know, of my film. So I was really touching the history, using the history that was part of the story. So that, to me, was very cool.
That's a goosebumps moment. Wow.
Yeah, it was really goosebumps. And then he gave me a little plate from the film. I think he meant for me to keep it because I did. I mean, from the plane. So I have, like, my little memento.
Oh, that's wonderful. We've been talking with Nancy Spielberg, the producer of the film Above and Beyond, The Untold True Story, about the origins of the Israeli Air Force in the 1948 Israeli War. Nancy, thank you so much for calling. We wish we could have talked to you live in person, but thanks for making yourself available.
Well, I love being there, and I'll be back next year, so thank you so much.
Wonderful. For EAA Radio, I'm Stuck Mike.